The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 442. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. This episode is going to feature another conversation with a member of the Columbus Cartoon Coalition, or C3 as it's nicknamed. And this person is also a very talented independent comic book creator. I'm talking about Kelsey D. Crawford. Kelsey and I are going to talk about C3 and about how important it is to the independent creators here in Ohio. We're also going to talk about what Kelsey has submitted for the current anthology. And then we'll also talk about Kelsey's other projects, including The Legend of Jamie Roberts, which is one great adventure that you definitely want to check out. I'm going to take this moment to say once again, I appreciate and loved having the opportunity to host these live streams. So thanks again to Sydney for offering that opportunity to me. I really do appreciate it. With that being said, I will say that there is going to be one part of this conversation that was a little more visual, so it might not make sense to you as you're listening. And also, too, wanted to mention that there's going to be a few folks that we interact with who were, at the time, the live stream, sending in questions or comments and whatnot. So, again, since this is now an audio version of that live stream, just want to throw out a couple of those little quick little hints, disclaimer, whatever you want to call it. All right, with that, before I get into the conversation with Kelsey, I need to take care of one little thing. And that's thanking my sponsor. Look, I tell you all the time about how great World's Greatest Comics is. And many people have been checking it out. And that's a great thing. But if you haven't been over to the store, what the heck are you waiting on, man? It's got everything that you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues. They've got graphic novels. They've got collections, back issues, toys, collectibles. They got pretty much anything and everything you need for your fandom. So you definitely need to check out the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page at WG Comics. And once again, I want to thank everybody with World's Greatest for, again, supporting the PVD Cast. Your support means the world to me. All right, well, that being said, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Kelsey D. Crawford. Well, we are live here for C3, part of C Stands For campaign that we're going to talk about. I am your host, John Orlando. Joining me on this episode, on this live stream, Kelsey Crawford. How are you this evening?
I am terrific.
Kelsey, let's talk a little bit about C3. How did you get involved with C3?
So, funny story about that. I found out about them because I was at Space of 2022. Not my first time going to Space. Small Press Alternative Comics Expo. I've not been into outer space. I've just been to Space Columbus. But Sydney had a table there to show off the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. And she was telling me about it. And I was like, finally, a coalition that actually aims to gather all of the cartoonists of Central Ohio. And, like, on the one hand, I was like, well, should I apply? Because I'm based out of Toledo. And then I was like, I'm an honorary Columbus native. I know all of the hot spots. I've been to Columbus, like, constantly since I was 15. So I might as well join. And I've been to a lot of the Columbus area shows anyway. So I know a lot of the people who are Columbus natives who work and make comics down here. So I was like, it just makes sense to join. So that was how I found out about it. And that's how I ended up becoming a member.
Okay. There's a new anthology coming out, sponsored by C3. And it's called C Stands For. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about your contribution to the anthology?
So my contribution was a little bit of a last minute addition. Hi, Ben. Yes, I am more of a Columbus native than Ben is. Yeah, I know the neighborhoods. So my contribution for C Stands For was a bit of a last minute addition, but I was like, hey, I can make a quick informational 2-page comic about this thing that interests me. So I put together a quick little 2-page comic, which my entry is called C is for Crops. And it talks about a planting arrangement called the Three Sisters. And we can talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, I had known that the anthology was in the works for a while, but I kind of took a step back because I was like, well, I got some other stuff on my plate, so I'll let other people get a chance to submit. Because kind of the goal with these anthology projects is to get people who have not been published before to get published. And I was like, I've been doing this stuff for 10 years, so I'm going to let the newbies take their slots. But then we had a couple of people drop out or say, oh, I can't do this many pages. So I saw that in our group Discord, and I was like, well, if there are some open spots, I can help fill those in if nobody else is going to take those spots. So that's how that happened.
Well, let's talk about these trees. Let's talk about these. I assume they are the characters of your tale. Let's talk a little bit about them. What was the inspiration for creating them? What exactly are they? Just to be blunt, are they actual trees? Is there a hint of fantasy and magic involved in this? Like, tell us a little bit more.
This is definitely more of an informational thing. So okay. The Three Sisters is actually a type of planting arrangement that is very traditional. It was something that Native American groups, particularly Central and South and getting into Northeast America, the indigenous peoples would plant a crop arrangement that they called the Three Sisters. The Three Sisters is usually a corn, a kind of string bean, or a kind of a bean that grows vines, and some variation of a squash. And the legend goes that these are the Three Sisters. The oldest sister grows the tallest, that's the corn. The middle sister wraps her arms around the oldest sister, and that's the beans. And the youngest sister, the squash, wears a long flowing gown, which references how the squash leaves will just blanket the dirt. And they are called the oldest, the middle, and the youngest sister because of the order in which you plant them in the seasons. Okay. So the eldest sister is planted first. Okay. And then the middle sister is planted roughly 1 week or two after the corn is planted. Ideally, the corn is like about a foot tall before you plant the middle sister. And then once those two are pretty well established, about a week or so after that, then you plant your squash. So that's why they're the oldest, the middle, and the youngest. So this is a pretty straightforward, somewhat informational comic about what this planting arrangement is, why it is the way that it is, and how it is that the plants like support each other as they grow. I found out about this through a lot of poking around, especially on YouTube, because YouTube is one of the things that I've really fallen down the rabbit hole of recently.
And you and a lot of other people, Kelsey. So
yes. Yes. So I found out about the Three Sisters arrangement because of this YouTube channel called, I'm going to get the name wrong, even though I credited them in the comic. I'm going to make sure that I get this right. So I'm going to pull this up real fast.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Just so I don't miss, so that I don't misspeak and so that I give proper credit where That's credit right. is due.
That's
I mean,
right.
lots of people have talked about this planting arrangement, not just these folks, but these folks were where I found out about it first. Homegrown Hand Gathered on YouTube. That's the name of the channel. Homegrown Hand Gathered. They've done a couple different videos about the Three Sisters and the origins, how it is that it works so well and that sort of thing. And I was like, well, I don't think very many people in Central Ohio know about this. And I feel like if there's any place that folks would like to know more about this, it's the people who love to do like urban gardening.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you met. Now that you explained it, I vaguely remember something about that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense. And
yeah,
if I may be so bold, not only do I think that not a lot of people probably know about that, but it's also a unique topic because I'm sure that in this anthology, there are all types of stories and all types of tales and genres and mm-hmm. whatnot. So this is a real kind of nonfiction piece. For lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. I've only dipped my toes into nonfiction comics a couple of times. And this is my second. I see one of the comments. Hi, Matthew. he says, Kelsey, this sounds like an exciting documentary type comic. I'm a big fan of documentaries. Is this what this is? It does give a walkthrough a bit of how to plant this type of garden. And how it is that the plants all support each other. Like the corn supports the beans because the beans need something to grow and climb up. And the squash grows like a blanket across the ground and it helps keep the dirt moist so that you water the crops less often. And it helps keep the mounds for the corn nice and moist. I'm going to have fun saying that word, moist. I know some people really do not like that word, but, you know, we're talking about gardens and stuff, so moist.
You're going to have to deal with it, people. If it makes you uncomfortable for a few seconds, so be it.
Yes. Exactly. But yeah, I wanted to share this as like a, hey, isn't this arrangement really neat? But also trying to give proper credit to the native peoples who, I don't want to say invented it, but they basically discovered how it is that this arrangement worked. And, you know, revisiting that because, like, nothing against commercial farming, but I do see that there could be some problems with commercial farming as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So fun fact about Toledo. Toledo, back in 2014, had toxic algal blooms because of the commercial farming industry.
Mm-hmm.
Pouring their toxic runoff into the Maumee River and into Lake Erie. And there's still a lot of toxicity in the water. It has been worked on, and there's still studies, but it is still a problem. So considering some of the issues with big commercial farming, I'm hoping that more and more people can support not just the local farmers, but maybe encourage community plots. And if they do get their hands on a community plot, maybe they can try their hands at the Three Sisters gardening arrangement because it yields a lot of plants, a lot of like plant matter. Like you get a lot of corn and a lot of beans. And because of that, you get a lot of protein mm-hmm. out of this kind of growth. And also they preserve very, very well.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So well, I'm hoping that, you know, with more community garden projects, maybe this kind of informational comic can help as like a jumping off point.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the anthology. It is a project on Crowdfunder.
It is.
And there's a couple different tiers, all of which the main goal is to get money to help support local artists in whether it's table fees or equipment or whatever. So let's talk a little bit about those. Right now, we're kind of doing something that I think maybe some folks that are watching or listening maybe aren't familiar with. And maybe you can help with the explanation, Kelsey. It's kind of a per page type of deal for the perks, for the stretch goals, if you want to call it that or whatnot. Am I correct on that?
So the way that the goal is structured is the more that we raise, the higher the paid page rate is. So if we reach X amount, then right now our base goal is if we hit our base goal, we'll each be able to pay our contributors $5 per page. If we can hit the next stretch goal above that, that means all of our contributors will be paid $10 per page that they made. And then the next goal after that is 15, and so on and so on. So the more funding that we raise, the more that can be given back to the creators who helped make this project possible.
And things kicked off on Friday with the launch party. And from what I remember seeing, things are plugging right along there, chugging along, you know, with the dollar amount there, as you mentioned, you know, $5 no matter what, $10 at $975.
$950, I believe.
Excuse me. I said $975. I apologize.
It's $950. Fine.
Yeah, 15. If you get 15, if you get 1,550 raised, you get $15 a page, and then anything over 1550, $20 a page. So that's a great perk for everybody involved. Absolutely awesome stuff.
Yes. Those are the kinds of anthology projects that I like to be involved with, are the kinds of anthologies that say, hey, the more funding that we raise, the higher the page rate we will pay out to our contributors.
All right. Well, let me put you in sales pitch mode.
Oh, boy.
Why should somebody get one of these anthologies? What's in it for them, so to speak? What do you say? What would you say to that?
You get to help support new and upcoming indie comics voices, especially people whose careers are going to take off. Don't you want a little bit of comics history to have a comic on your shelf to say, hey, I got a comic from the early days of so-and-so, and this is going to be worth so much.
And Ben Wright Human just said right here, never put Kelsey in sales pitch mode. They never stop.
They never stop. Nope. I got my sales training as a caricaturist at Cedar Point. I am relentless.
Okay. All right. And for folks watching, by the way, all the links and information is scrolling right below as well. If you would like to help out with C stands for. Kelsey, before we start talking a little bit about you, let's wrap up with one final question that's probably better linked to the anthology. And that question is, why is Ohio a great place for independent creators?
Because there's nothing to do here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just put it simply, like, I'll be honest, there's not a lot to do in Ohio other than maybe go to Cedar Point, like, or Kings Island. Like, those are like the two biggest attractions other than maybe Kosai. But even then, there's not a whole ton to do in Ohio. So more likely a lot of creators originate from Ohio because they are bored and need to tell stories to their friends.
Well, Sydney Kitt just mentioned here in her comment, Kelsey, you cracked me up. I'm a little bit stunned. I'm a little bit taken back, Kelsey. I'm not gonna lie to you because there's not much to do. I think there's tons to do in Ohio.
Okay.
We'll agree to disagree. How about that?
All right. Okay. We'll agree to disagree. Look, I grew up in Southeast Ohio where there was literally nothing to do other than like a tailgate and out in the holler. So.
Oh, wait a minute. I think, to be fair to the Buckeye State, I think any state in the union you can go to and go, there are some crappy parts where there's not much to do. Okay, I see where you're coming from. I got you there.
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Kelsey for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs and a proud sponsor of the PVD Cast. They got everything you need for your comic book fandom, whether you're talking about single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, back issues, a friendly staff, a great pull system. They got it covered. So if you're in the area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online at wgcomics.com or on Facebook at WGComics.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about you, because you have some great projects to talk about. And let's maybe talk about one that is a lengthier project that you've been working on for a while, and that is The Legend of Jamie Roberts. So for those who are unaware, can you tell a little bit about this project?
So The Legend of Jamie Roberts is a webcomic I started in 2018. It is the story of a genderqueer pirate and their two best friends treasure hunting in a land full of dragons and why it's a bad idea to do that. It also incorporates a lot of my favorite things. And I wanted to take a different twist in the fantasy genre. So with The Legend of Jamie Roberts, I incorporated a lot of references to Native American locales, especially Canyon de Chelly of Navajo Nation and Acoma Pueblo in New Mexico. And I also incorporated, because I studied African art history when I was in college and loved the subject. And I wanted to pay homage in a way that does not pull a Pablo Picasso. If anybody knows anything about Picasso and his relationship with African art, I wanted to not do that. I wanted to do something that would like homage it, but not directly reference it. So it's got a lot of that kind of aesthetic and some Native American art aesthetic weaved in as well. I'm just having a lot of fun with this particular creative project. We are now partway through chapter 10 in the update schedule. So I've been at this for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the number of issues that I saw on Webtoons, the issues, you know, or chapters, whatever you want to say, there was quite a few there. I can't remember the number, but there was quite a few. And I know from speaking with you in the past as well that, you know, you were working on this project, you know, 4 years ago. And so it's great to see that you're continuing on with the Legend of Jamie Roberts. And I'm sure that the feedback from fans has been outstanding.
Oh my gosh. I love hearing the feedback from the fans. Like a lot, there's one part, there's the comments that I see on the website. Those are great. I also love seeing a lot of the like fan chatter on Discord, because I have a Discord server for my readers to interact in. And I love, shout out to Apparently Lyle on Discord, because they will leave all kinds of comments about reading some of the latest pages of The Legend and being like, and saying things like, those are really thick defensive walls, or, oh, this guy clearly knows the area because he's running around here like he knows his business. And it's just, it's fun to see. It's really fun to see everybody interacting with it. And I also love seeing the fan reactions whenever I show the comic off at conventions. I was going to go into a story about one reaction, but it's a little not safe for work. So maybe I'll save that for when we're not live.
Okay. Well, let's talk about another project. You have a project called Validation, and you're working with a very talented individual. CB is their name. Can you also explain a little bit about how is working with a partner different than kind of working on your own?
So that is a good question, because Validation is one of the few comic projects that I have worked on where I was not the sole creator on it. So I will say, shout out to CB. She was a great collaborator. Like, she let me have a lot of creative reign on character designs and figuring out how to lay out a page. And sometimes I would message her and be like, hey, this part of the script is a little trickier to draw. Maybe if we try it this way. And she would be like, cool. So I love how flexible she was and she gave me so much creative reign on this project. She also took my suggestions seriously. So I want to talk a little bit about two characters in particular, Mike and Steve. So when we first drafted Mike and Steve, the original script had them be a lot more bro-y, like frat boy bro type characters. And right around that time when we were working on the script, I had just been introduced to the concept of the himbo. Okay. And so I messaged CB and I was like, hey, what if these guys were actually like sweet and nice and trying their best? And she was like, I like this direction. And then we just took off in that direction. And that changed the trajectory of those two characters and changed their relationship with the main character, which was great. And it eventually led to me creating a little spin-off sequel short comic called New Punk Signal, starring these two himbos, Mike and Steve. So that was an email exclusive, like an email newsletter exclusive comic. And I'm hoping to get it up on Kickstarter in the next month. So keep an eye out for that.
Okay. All right. I do want to, and you already have answered this question because it's in your description of yourself, but I do want to give you props for Kitties by Kelsey. I checked out the Redbubble shop. There's a lot of cool things there. If you're a cat person, I am a cat dad. My girlfriend has four of them, so all of which, you know, are usually cool, except for, you know, when it's dinner time. They get a little round up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to kind of shift gears, so to speak, from going from like traditional webtoon comics to being more into doing apparel and stickers and whatnot?
So Kitties by Kelsey was a spinoff project, and largely I did that because there were some cat designs that I really wanted to make merch out of that I wasn't seeing any merch for. And honestly, Redbubble was one of the easier places to like start it up without putting a lot of my own money in printing one-off products. I did eventually get to a point with Kitties by Kelsey where I could start incorporating those kinds of like products into my own store. Originally, I had started it up with the idea of I'm going to keep it separate from what I do with my comics, because I just wanted Kitties by Kelsey to be a merch shop.
Okay.
But the more that I worked on it, the more that I was like, well, if I try to keep them separate, my current reader base has no idea that I'm making this stuff and they love cats. So it just made more sense to integrate it back into what it is that I do, to be like, I have a new cat design, or like fairly recently, within the last like 2 years, I actually had a small short run Kickstarter that lasted like a week to get funding for these keychains, these like biblically accurate cat angels. And I called it Be Not a Purd, which that was a spinoff of Kitties by Kelsey that fully worked its way back into everything else that I do.
Well, that I again, there was some really cool stuff there. People, you ought to check it out. I know we just had the website up below here. Maybe we'll bring that up one more time. Just a couple other questions real quick, and then we'll plug Crowdfunder again to make sure everybody knows where they can find it and whatnot. There's the Redbubble. There we go.
Yeah. When I first started it, in case anybody has any confusion about the name, when I first started it, I had the idea of calling it Bri Bri Boutique, because it was named after two of my kitties, Bri Bri and Boo Boo. We have since adopted a third, full name, Mooney Vegeta Muser Peterson Crawford. You can call him Little Goblin because he is a little goblin.
Okay. Well, Kelsey, it's probably going to be a question that might stump you, and I apologize for that. But who or what inspires you to do your art?
Akira Toriyama.
Okay. That was an easy one. You had an answer already. Okay.
Real easy one. Right off the bat, Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball and Dr. Slump. I love his over-the-top facial expressions and the way that he lays out his comics. Like, you can pick up pretty much any book from Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z, and you will be like immediately sucked in because his pacing is just that good. I'll be honest, I tried reading Dragon Ball Super. I respect that Toyotaro is a very good draft person. He just does not know how to lay out a comic page. I'm sorry. So I'm glad that Toriyama, after a point, had started working with Toyotaro on Dragon Ball Super. May Akira Toriyama rest in peace. I found out about his death at AwesomeCon earlier this year, and I was so devastated. That took a while to recover from. That and other point of inspiration, anime director Satoshi Kon, he directed Paprika, Millennium Actress, and my favorite Christmas movie of all time, Tokyo Godfathers.
Okay.
If you have not watched that movie, you should watch it. It's about three homeless people who find an abandoned baby in the trash. Shenanigans ensue.
Okay. Hey, yeah. That sounds like that might be an interesting viewing. What was that? The Tokyo Godfathers? Is that what
Tokyo Godfathers? Yep.
Okay. All right.
It's an homage to an old Western that was also like The Godfathers, which had a similar premise. Three men find an abandoned baby. Shenanigans ensue. Okay. Satoshi Kon was inspired a lot by Western cinema. So I wasn't too surprised that was like a spinoff that he did. So yeah, that's also a big inspiration. Anything Dungeons and Dragons,
okay,
also a big inspiration. So I see a comment from Matthew. He's asking, I graduated in December 2020. I've been trying to get a career started since, but had little to no luck. Kelsey, how did you start? It sounds like you have done your own freelancing. Yeah, I basically invented my own job. Because at the time I was working a lot of like dead end part-time jobs and trying to build up a portfolio to get a graphic novel deal and wasn't getting any. And that was around the time that webcomics were really taking off. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make a webcomic. And then I started making Johnson and Sir. And then CB found my art and she was like, hey, would you like to work on Validation? And then it just took off from there. So that's how that happened.
I'm not a comic book creator, but I would suggest that it's the same advice that I would give people that have come to me and said, how do I start a podcast? You just do it.
Pretty much.
You're going to be awful at it. I mean, that's the reality. I'm not trying to be mean. You're going to be bad, but you're going to learn and you're going to get better and just do it. There's no other way that I can help you than just saying do it.
Yeah. Or you can do what the creator of One Punch Man did. I've seen a lot of webcomic creators do this too, where they will start a webcomic. But they're not a particularly good draftsperson, but their writing is chef's kiss on point. So what they'll do is they'll keep making the webcomic, but then they will eventually find a artist collaborator who draws way better than them to work on the comic and really amplify that writing. And then it takes off from there. I've seen a lot of webcomic creators have that happen too.
Well, let's see if we got a few other comments here real quick, if we can get those pulled up here, and we'll see what...
Hey, Los!
There you go. Fail till you learn. That's a simple, simple moniker that certainly I can agree with.
Satoshi Kon is great.
All right. Do we got any others here real quick before we start wrapping up?
Oh, I did see that Sydney wanted us to point out that we are 24% of the way to the $15 page rate for artists. And we are 39% of the way to the $10 page rate for artists.
And currently sitting at $370 on Crowdfunder. And that's a great thing. And Matthew says, thank you all. If you learn how to sell your work, that's the most useful skill as a freelancer. Start tabling, participate in anthologies, set goals, and get it done. Thank you, Ben, for chiming in with that as well.
Yeah, or you can do what I did and start working at Cedar Point as a caricature artist. That's kind of throwing people into the deep end, but it was how I learned.
Well, Kelsey, do you have any other future projects real quick that you'd like to discuss with the last few moments that we have here?
Ooh, actually, funny that you should ask that. You know how I mentioned...
wait, time out. You're making everybody think that we planned this, and this is not planned. But
no, this is not planned. This is okay. Just how I roll.
Okay, I'm just because people are like, this seems a little fishy. No, people at home, we're not in cahoots on this.
No, I'm just enthusiastic. So... I do have a project in the works. I'm hoping to launch it in the middle of August. It is a first for me. It is a 2-for-1 crowdfunding campaign to get 2 books into print, not just one. One is New Punk Signal. You know how I mentioned the himbos, Mike and Steve from Validation?
Mm-hmm.
We have a book. We have a book put together, and I'm looking to get it crowdfunded. And alongside that, there is actually a novella. It is my first written novella. It's not a comic, called Fuishishi. It's a word that is indigenous to the people within that story. It'll make sense when you read it.
Okay.
But they're both stories about community radio show hosts, or in New Punk Signal's case, podcast hosts. And, metaphorical storms of the heart. So I figured that thematically, they both worked really well. So how about we just put them together on one Kickstarter campaign? And I'm hoping to get that out in the middle of August. So keep an eye out for that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's run down one more time. The anthology right now is on Crowdfunder. As we mentioned, $370 so far. All the money goes to support local artists. And as Kelsey pointed out, there's tons of very talented people in the indie comic book scene. Mm-hmm. And you don't know who's going to break out. Who's going to be the next big, I don't know. I'll pick a name. Rob Liefeld. Right, don't get mad at me. I just picked a name off the top of my head. Anyways, you don't know who's going to be that next big star. So here's an opportunity to donate to C3 to help out with those folks. And again, so far, just going to run down real quick again the pages, $5 to those individuals going back to them that participate in the anthology, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If you raise $950, then $10 a page is coming back. Mm-hmm. $1,550 raised, that's $15 coming back. And then anything over that mark of $1,550 is $20 back. So this is a great anthology. This is a great project. This is a great organization, too. I mean, let's not sell it short. I'm sure you agree with me, Kelsey, that indeed, C3 is the bee's knees, so to speak.
We have fostered a really fun community and a great community of up-and-coming comic artists. And we have open membership. If anybody would love to join us, we would be happy to have you.
There you go. And Sydney just dropped a comment here. We don't want to keep the money. Right? Because we want to give it to the artist. So,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely. So, Kelsey, where can folks find you on the internet?
So, folks can find me. Excuse me. Wow. Got tongue-tied there for a second. So, folks can find me on my website at kelseydcrawford.com. That's KelseyDCrawford.com. Pretty much everything associated with me, from upcoming crowdfunding campaigns to my webcomics and everything else, is on that site. I also wanted to shout out, because Ben wanted me to remind y'all that tonight at 8:00 over at Canon Rights YouTube channel, they're going to also be having an interview as well. So keep your eyes out for that. That's 8:00 tonight.
All right. Well, Kelsey, thanks for sitting down and chatting about the anthology, about your projects, everything else. It was great fun. And PVDcast.com, for those who don't know, is my own personal podcasting project, is the PVDcast. It's available at PVDcast.com. So, and, these particular live streams are going to be funneled through the PVDcast. Probably a little bit of a delay, not going to lie. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get them cleaned up and ready to go and shipped out, but definitely keep tabs on, as you see down below, PVD MVP is the Twitter handle, or X, or whatever they're calling it nowadays. Anyways,
I'm calling it Twitter. I don't care about Elon's feelings.
No, I don't either. And yeah, but that's another story for another time. But anyways, yes. Also, you can find me on Facebook, on Threads, and on Instagram at PVDcast. And Kelsey, once again, thank you so very much for sitting down and chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
And I will see you folks next Tuesday, August 6th, when I sit down with AJ Easterday to talk about, of course, the C stands for. And yeah, also, don't forget to check out C3, if I remember correctly. It is, of course, C3.Ohio on all the social medias. So there you go.
I have been asked to do this.
Okay. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for checking out this live stream. Really appreciate it. Please come on back for all of them. All right. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later.
Thanks so much. You are awesome.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Kelsey D. Crawford, talking about Kelsey's involvement in C3, what project Kelsey submitted for the anthology, and a whole lot of other great stuff. I appreciate Kelsey sitting down and chatting with me, and there's going to be a lot more chats. That's right. I got a lot of individuals who sat down at the live stream and chatted with me about not only C3, but some of their other projects. And those are all going to air over the next few weeks here on the PVDcast. So something to look forward to. All right, well, that it's time for me to start wrapping things up. I'm going to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. You can shoot me an email if you want. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And you can also find me over on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for @PVDcast. And you can drop me a line through any of those avenues. All right, maybe you want to let somebody know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the easiest way to get every single episode. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting apps or outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app or outlet, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you listen through one of those outlets or apps, please, please, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, while you're doing that, you might as well subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's a third and final way you can hear the episodes, and that is through the weekly live broadcast that I do through the Facebook page Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.